Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday. I'm Patty, and welcome to another edition of The Bone Collector. Tonight, serial killers, and mostly about H.H. Holmes. It's a pretty unusual weather night in the Rochester area tonight. It feels almost like late fall. We've got some strong winds, little bit of flakes falling, so it's almost like a Halloween night than a spring evening. So it's perfect to talk about serial killers and murders and anything else that most people find a fallish Halloween topic, but there are some of us that are obsessed with the macabre that will talk about it 365 days of the year. That's me. And I'm sure that's a lot of you listening as well. So tonight I was going to talk about H.H. Holmes, was some dub as the first serial killer in the United States, and his similarities and the possibility that he could in fact be Jack the Ripper, one of the most infamous cold cases. One of the oldest cold cases in history. I don't think they ever stop looking for clues. There are a ton of speculation on who Jack the Ripper could possibly be. One of the newest theories, and I mean new, the last 5 to 10 years, is that Jack the Ripper could actually be a woman. I'm not sold on that theory, but there are those that generally believe that it could be a woman. I'm not sure why, but everybody has their opinion on the subject. I just wanted to start out a little bit with what is actually a serial killer. Well, Ted Bundy, who else we got? Jeffrey Dahmer, Ed Gein. Ed Gein made masks and lampshades out of the skin of his victims. He actually had a belt that had the nipples of his victims sewn on it. That's pretty creepy, but there are different things to look for in a serial killer. In Ed Gein, an abnormal psychological gratification. Obviously, if you're going to live with the skin and body parts of your victims in your home and everyday objects, that's definitely a abnormal psychological issue. But a serial killer is a person who commits a series of murders, and they say that they have no reason to do it, but it follows a pattern. So there's no reason why they kill them, but they kill the same type of person, the same setting. It could be somebody who looks like a father figure, a mother figure, somebody who abused them early in their life and they're trying to get back from that. Now, as I said, they have given H.H. Holmes the moniker of being the first serial killer in the United States. That's definitely not true. The first serial killer in the U.S. was actually a gentleman by the name of Samuel Ross Mason. And this was at the turn of the 18th century. So it would be 1790s to 1803. He was the leader of the Mason gang. I'm just going to give you a little idea of this serial killer. And the Mason gang was river pirates and highwaymen in Kentucky, what is now Mississippi and Missouri. And Samuel Mason himself was for sure tagged for 20 murders. And he would often write a message in the victim's blood that said, "Done by Mason of the Woods." Left the calling card. They knew exactly who he was and that he had been there and he had been the person who committed this crime. Now, he was killed in a very interesting way. They aren't quite sure what caused his death. He died in an escape attempt after he made a successful escape attempt and then was rearrested. And all records say that he was either killed by a gunshot or he was killed by a tomahawk. That's a big difference. That's a big difference in entry wounds. So whether they're trying to cover up who actually killed him and why, I think though back then it was Wild West rule, so it really didn't matter how he was killed. He was going to die anyways, definitely was either going to be hung or killed by a firing squad. So he did it before trial, but they had plenty of evidence. It was written right in blood. There was another serial killer in the 18 teens, and her name was Lavinia Fisher, and she was from the Charleston, South Carolina area, and she and her husband owned an inn. They had a lot of travelers on the road. She was in a very not in the city, but there was a lot of traffic. A lot of people would go past their inn. A lot of travelers would stop at the inn for food, for drink, even to stay there. And they were notorious for putting poison in their drink or slipping them a roofie, getting them down in the basement, killing them and robbing them. Now, they were a serial killer because of the amount of people that they killed, but it definitely wasn't for no reason. It was for theft. They wanted to rob them. Now, if you look up online serial killers in the U.S., there's a long, long list of serial killers. When we think of serial killers, though, we think of the modern ones. You know, there's how many documentaries about Ted Bundy on TV, on Netflix, or the Night Stalker. But our subject tonight, H.H. Holmes, there's been quite a few books written about him. The History Channel, I believe it was on, had a reality show where his grandson and a former FBI agent was trying to find clues to actually identify him as Jack the Ripper. You might want to check that out on, it's available on Netflix right now. However, I'm going to give you a little bit of I'm going to ruin it for you. They didn't find the evidence. It was left wide open at the end of the first season, and second season never came because this was in 2017. So we will never know officially if he was Jack the Ripper, but we're going to talk about some of his crimes, his life, and then we're going to compare him to Jack the Ripper so you guys can make your own conclusions. Now, H.H. Holmes was born Herman Webster Mudgett on May 16th, 1861 in Gilmanton, New Hampshire. He didn't have a lot of the things that happened that would cause you to have an alarm that he was a serial killer. As a child, he really didn't display any telltale signs of torturing animals. To a certain extent, in his teenage years, he did start to enjoy performing operations on animals while they were still alive. So I think that he began to display these traits of possibly being mental, having mental issues, not so much as being a serial killer. At least some experts say that they do believe that the first murder that he committed was around the age of 11, and that would have been the death of his best friend, Tom. Now, Tom died from injuries that he sustained from falling from a landing in an abandoned house. Now, it could have been an accident. But looking back on what we know now about H.H. Holmes and the fact that it was just he and H.H. Holmes, or at the time Herman Webster Mudgett, in the building, you can ascertain that possibly he pushed his friend and he killed him, and that would have been his first murder, and it would be the first of, some people claim to, he has committed over 200 murders. He confessed to 27 in his trial. However, the murder of Tom was not one that he confessed to. However, it could have just been so far back that he completely forgot about it, because after 200 victims, how can you keep track of all of them? So, he was interested in medicine, obviously, because he started dissecting live animals in his teenage years, performing operations on them, and he actually got his medical degree, unlike other people that are believed to possibly be Jack the Ripper. There is another suspect that's an American that they say could possibly be Jack the Ripper, and that is Francis Tumblety, and he is buried right here in Rochester in Holy Sepulchre Cemetery. His gravestone says Dr. Francis Tumblety, but he never got a doctor's degree. He was a quack doctor, quack medicine. He pretended to be a doctor. He said he was a doctor, but he never was. But back to Holmes. Holmes was actually a doctor. He studied medicine at a small school in Vermont, and then he was accepted into the University of Michigan's Medical College. And in 1884, he passed all of his exams and got his doctorate, and then he moved to Chicago. He obtained an occupation in the medical field. However, it was as a pharmacist. He bought a drugstore from a widow whose husband had recently passed away. And shortly after he purchased said drugstore, the widow disappeared. Fell off the face of the earth. But when anybody asked what happened to her, she moved to California. Why would an elderly widow just up and move to California? You never know. However, the story was bought and people truly believed him. Now, while he was in medical school, one of the reasons that he committed some of these crimes, his murders, became evident because he would steal the cadavers that they used at the college, and he would burn them or disfigure them and then plant their bodies to look like they'd been killed in an accident. Why? Because he had purchased insurance policies on these fictitious people and began to collect money on those policies when they were deemed an accidental death. Now, nowadays, we have so much forensic science and any other types of medical sciences that they can determine whether or not it was an accident, if the body was burned and then dumped, if they died before the injuries. They have all these ways to tell, just like you throw a dead body in the lake, make sure that there's water in their lungs, because now they can tell whether or not they drowned. So his main motive at the time was collecting insurance money. He was greedy. He wanted to make a fast buck. He didn't want to do any work. And he was obsessed with death. And also, desecrating a dead body is a crime as well. However, he was never charged with that or convicted of that. He left a large, long paper trail wherever he went. He was a scammer. He would borrow money from the bank for different things. He wouldn't pay it. he would buy lumber to make a, to build a project. He would never pay the bill. So he left a pretty big paper trail as to what he was doing. So they followed his movements, and historians have been looking at his criminal record because he was charged with theft and petty larceny, things like that, for unpaid bills. But from 1888 to 1889, there was nothing. No paper trail. Not a word, not a note. He didn't buy anything. He didn't sell anything. Nothing. For an entire year, he was mysteriously absent in the public in the United States. This just happened to be the same time that the murders were happening in the Whitechapel district of London by Jack the Ripper. The year before he left, disappeared, if you want to say he left England or he disappeared off the face of the earth, we should say, he began construction of his hotel in Chicago. And the plan was to have it complete by the Chicago Exposition in 1893. While his hotel was being constructed, he left. I'm sorry. Dogs are making some weird noises out there. I was just listening. How he left the construction crew in charge to build his castle, which when it opened in 1893 had three floors and a basement, but we'll get back to that. We're going to talk a little bit about Jack the Ripper murders. As you all know, in that time period, Jack the Ripper was attributed to at least five brutal murders on prostitutes in the Whitechapel district. They're called the Conical Five. However, they do believe that the murders copycats continued on until February of 1991. The coincidence that happens is the Ripper murders, the ones that he's given credit for and all these additional ones, stop in February of 1891. And the main run of the Holmes murders began in December of 1891, so just 10 months between the time that these murders in London ended and the murders in Chicago and the United States. 10 months is not a lot of time, and that's a huge coincidence. Now, his murder castle is what they're calling it right now. It had three floors and a basement. Typical hotel, three floors and a basement. However, each of the guest rooms were soundproof. And they had different ways to kill the occupant. Several of them had a gas vent that went into the room. So they would kill them with gas, and then he had a body chute that in each room that he would put the bodies down. They would go into the basement. He would do his thing. He'd dissect them. He would clean their bones sometimes and sell the bones to colleges and things like that, but that was not his main thing. And he had a lie an acid pit in the basement so he could get rid of all the evidence from the deaths. And he also had a makeshift crematorium so that he could burn the bodies up and they would be gone and out of the way and he would be ready for the next guest. Most of the guests that stayed in his hotel were young women from various parts of the country that were looking for work. They were enticed by the Chicago Exposition. There would be jobs that would be perfect for them, and they just flocked there, and he offered cheap room and board. They just didn't know what it actually cost, and it was costing them their life. He was actually got away with all of these murders. He was never even thought that he had done these murders. Nobody was looking. Well, people were looking for them, but they just figured big city. They could have just disappeared and nobody would hear from them. It was not anything of a big deal. What he was arrested for and convicted of was the death of Benjamin Peitzel, who was ultimately his accomplice in his insurance scams. And when he served no purpose anymore, he murdered him, and that's what he was arrested for, and convicted of first-degree murder of only Benjamin Peitzel in Boston in 1894. He was hanged in Philadelphia on May 7th, 1896. Like I said, before he died, he confessed to 27 murders, but there were possibly over 200 that he committed. Now, we're going to do a little bit of the connections between H.H. Holmes and Jack the Ripper. After those murders stopped in London, researchers had looked at some ship logs, travel from the UK over to the US, and there was one passenger on a ship who was listed on the passenger log as H. Holmes. Now, Holmes was a popular last name, and H could have stood for anything. However, it was very coincidental that the Ripper murders ended. There was a passenger named H. Holmes, and 10 months later, the murder started in the United States. Now, both H.H. Holmes and Jack the Ripper killed women predominantly. H.H. Holmes did kill some men, but mostly they were women. Both of them had psychopathic tendencies. Remember, H.H. Holmes performed operations on live animals. You can't get more psychopathic than that. Holmes was a skilled doctor, and it was believed that Jack the Ripper had a medical background because of the precision in the removal of the women's female reproductive organs. He did display a high amount of rage, which H.H. Holmes didn't, is when he killed the last of the Canonical Five. The police said that when they walked into the room, they could not identify the body as even human. That was how brutally massacred it was. Now, there was a possible connection between handwriting samples. There have been handwriting experts that say that there are a lot of similarities in the main portions of their handwriting. There's a sketch of Jack the Ripper, which they believe looks a lot like Holmes. And also in the famous Jack the Ripper letters that he sent to the newspapers and that he sent to Scotland Yard, there are a lot of phrases that are definitely not from the UK. They are definitely American phrases. So those are the similarities. There are differences, of course, in the brutality of the murders. However, I feel that a lot of the similarities outweigh those differences and that he could possibly definitely be Jack the Ripper. But they won't ever know because they don't have any DNA evidence or anything that they can follow up with modern science that would tell. There was a shawl from one of the murder victims that they thought might possibly have a blood sample from the murderer. However, it was so old and degraded that they couldn't test it. Everything came back inconclusive. Now, he did not die a quick death. He did suffer when he dropped to the scaffolding. His neck didn't break. He took 10 to 15 minutes to strangle to death. So I guess karma's a bitch and he got what he was coming. However, possibly we might take this on for another show about curses. There was definitely a curse that pretty much affected a lot of the people that were responsible for his conviction. Many of them died in suspicious and horrible ways after Holmes was put to death. Now, some people believe that Holmes was not killed, that he had actually paid somebody to take his place. But in that television show that I was telling you about, they actually, in the last episode, found his grave and were able to open it and did DNA testing based on a sample given by his great-great or great-great-great-grandson, Jeff Mudgett, and it was a match, so it was his body there. So that theory that he escaped death and continued on with his crime was kind of debunked. But it's always a good mystery as to why and how many people he actually killed, and could he be Jack the Ripper? Now, that's pretty much all I have about Jack the Ripper and H.H. Holmes. I just wanted to have a couple little things that we've got going on the calendar. Tomorrow, I will be manning Under the Apple Tree Antiques and Gift Shop in Clarkson, New York. So if anybody wants to stop by, say, hey, we'll talk about ghosts, we'll talk about serial killers, anything that fits that macabre little genre, I would be more than happy to shoot the shit with you on that. May 8th from 10 to 2 at the same place, I will be having a book signing for our Hidden in the Stone Garden series from Mount Hope Cemetery. It's a scavenger hunt. The first two books are out. It's a perfect way to spend Mother's Day with your loved ones. Mom will love it. Who doesn't love going in a cemetery on Mother's Day? And the good thing is 30% of each sale goes to the Friends of Mount Hope to help fund their projects and programs. It's a great place to learn. It's not just a cemetery. It's a hidden little city in of itself. So next week, we're going to talk about superstitions about death and death traditions and the origins of some of the sayings that we say that we have now that you didn't know where they came from, where they started, and their true meanings will shock you. We're almost done for tonight, and I just wanted to give a little shout out to my husband, Steve, and all the guys that are hanging out at Odin's Crew tonight. Have a great night. I will talk to you guys next week. And be sure to follow These Old Bones on Facebook because there's all sorts of really cool history and hauntings and anything else that turns my fancy up on my page. Have a great night. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.